Welcome to the Innate Vitality Code podcast, your source of science-backed information and inspiration on holistic healing, building resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. I'm your host, Dr. Andrea Pennington. I'm an integrative physician, acupuncturist, and positive psychology neuroscience nerd. For over 20 years, I've been healing and teaching in my wellness practice, in the media, on stages, and around the world, as part of my soul's mission to end suffering and raise the consciousness on the planet. This podcast does not provide medical advice or psychotherapy. Consult your healthcare provider before implementing what you hear on this show. Tuning in today, it is Wednesday, November 6th, 2024, and the energies are a little heavy, not gonna lie, but I'm here. I am here for this community, for this planet, for this world. If you've never tuned in before, I am Dr. Dea Swandrea Pennington Vazio, and today we're going to dive deep into the five stages of the dark night of the ego and the dawn of the soul. I have said before that this is a period that we're going through. This is the collective dark night of the ego. And I can say that because after looking over the last several years and what we've been living through, it's pretty clear that the world is in a state of change. There's political stuff, there's climate change, there are wars, there's genocide, there's collective chaos and mayhem happening all around the planet. And it has been said that this is a collective dark night. It's not just one country or another, or one group or another. We're all being affected by it. We experienced a little bit of that with COVID. You know, the whole world was plunged into this sort of crisis. And we saw people starting to become a little more awakened to some of the absurdities of power structures and infrastructure for food and travel. People started to understand that we are really interconnected. And then more and more calamities continue to hit us, from the war in Ukraine to the attacks in Gaza to political upheavals in America. There's a lot going on. And there are spiritual traditions that have predicted, that have said that we are going to go through a period of darkness as we move into a golden age, an area of lightness, of good stuff. I don't know if I'm going to see that good stuff in my lifetime. I pray that that is the case. But it may not be. We are going through a collective dark night. It is a reckoning, and we all need to come together to get through it. And so that's why I'm here. That is the purpose of this discussion. But beyond the collective global context, we're also going through our own personal dark nights. We're facing our own challenges, right? Just because there's wars and elections going on doesn't mean that you still aren't going through your stuff, whether that's burnout or heartbreak or loss or betrayal, recovery, illness. We've all got these personal challenges that were going on, and it just reminds us that this shared sense of darkness and heaviness and even despair, you're not alone in this. Now, I do want to invite you to look at this as a possible opportunity for a collective awakening. Because right alongside all of these difficulties, while these power structures are breaking down, more people are awakening. They're recognizing their need for sovereignty. And if we can choose the most empowering perspective rather than resistance, rather than wanting to give up, rather than just wanting to hide or numb out, if we recognize that every challenge to societies, to communities, to the earth, it's always preceding the dawn. So what if we embrace this darkness as a catalyst for change and personal evolution? Yes, it would be wonderful if we can mobilize and we can affect the powers that be. If that's your jam, go full strength in your activism. But we can also use this darkness as a catalyst for our own personal evolution, because we are each souls. We are souls that have incarnated in this little earthly avatar, and each and every one of us is on a journey of awakening to become this light being or enlightened, whatever you want to call it. Each and every one of us is on that journey. We're at different levels of awakening. That is true. But each of us is on this journey to awaken to who we really are. And the dark night always comes before the dawn. So this is just a reminder that this struggle is temporary and it will lead to transformation. So I'm going to get into the dark night of the ego and the dawn of the soul. This is the topic of my upcoming TED Talk that I'll be delivering in 2025 here in France. It's also the topic of a new anthology that we are publishing. We are calling on people who've had their own dark night stories and emerged into the dawn of the soul to be interviewed or to contribute a story to the book. You may have already seen that I've contributed one chapter to another book published by the Joy Keepers Network, How to Live in a World of Chaos. So check that out on my website, onedrea.com. As I share with you these five stages of the dark night of the ego and the dawn of the soul, we're not going to just leave you in the darkness. There are solutions. And the Cornerstone Process is a five-step holistic framework that will help you navigate the darkness, whatever that might be caused by. And the five stages are outlined in my other book, The Real Self-Love Handbook, and in my newest book, From Dark Night to Dawn, or From Darkness to Dawn. It's a guidebook that uses the five steps of the Cornerstone Process to lead you. So I want to set the record straight, first and foremost, about this whole term, the dark night of the ego. Now, you've probably heard people refer to it as a dark night of the soul, but I need you to know that that is incorrect. And I can tell you that because if we go to the original, and by the original, I mean San Juan de la Cruz, he was this 16th century mystic and poet. He was the author of a poem called Noche Oscura. So there's this common misconception that it's the dark night of the soul, but he never said that. It's the dark night of the ego. This is where we are being stripped of our false identities. And San Juan knew a bit about darkness. He was imprisoned, and not for anything that he did wrong. And it was in that darkness, in that cell, that he felt that everything that would be right, his values were being questioned. It was a darkness. But if you read the poem, which I've got on my website, if you go to onedrea.com, you can see a full analysis of the original poem, Dark Night. You'll see that he found it as a time where he was definitely struggling, but he eventually merged with his own soul, with the light of his soul, and that union with the divine. And so I see that inherent in this poem is hope, because the dark night always precedes the dawn and the rebirth of the soul. So let's take it stage by stage, all right? The first step in this dark night of the ego is the descent. The descent into the abyss is the first stage, and it's characterized by this profound inner collapse where old belief systems and identities and external constructs start to disintegrate or fall apart. So what are some of the signs and symptoms that you might be going into that descent into the abyss? Well, one is the overwhelming loss of identity, this disconnection from who you used to be. You felt like part of your old self is dying. It could be that there's this feeling of being just sort of disoriented, kind of floating, where there's no clear sense of direction or purpose. In the descent phase, we're often questioning long-held beliefs and values and life goals. Can you see how the personal dark night is similar to what we're going through collectively? During that descent, that falling into darkness, there's often a feeling of despair, hopelessness, and sometimes even thoughts of, like, what is even the point of life anymore? There can be emotional waves of sadness, of fear, of deep anxiety, even without like a really clear cause. There's often this sense of being like on the edge, emotional, crying, or just completely shutting down and dissociating. Some people will talk about this feeling of just being stuck or lost, like their life isn't moving forward, they're not able to make decisions because of the darkness. There may even be an overwhelming sensation that just nothing makes sense. So they're somewhat disconnected from routines and goals and the things that previously brought joy or meaning. There may even be a disconnection from the outside world, feeling alienated or detached from friends, from family, from society. There may be social withdrawal or even a desire to just isolate from other people. Now, there are some physical and psychological symptoms. Quite often, it's physical exhaustion and fatigue. That could be accompanied by insomnia or disturbed sleep patterns, having a real hard time focusing, concentrating, or even staying motivated. Anxiety, panic attacks, even depressive symptoms due to the emotional weight of falling into this sense of darkness and the abyss. Some people, as they're really going through this fall, they have a heightened sensitivity to emotions, to surroundings, to the energies of other people. And it's as if you can feel energetically raw or vulnerable, like all of your internal structures that used to protect you have collapsed. And quite often, this leads to an existential crisis where one may question their entire existence, their life purpose, and sense of meaning, feeling that maybe life doesn't even have any inherent value, or struggling with this sense of existential dread. Any of that sound familiar to you? Well, after that descent, which can take weeks, it could take months, it could be years, I feel like collectively we've been in a downward trend for the last several years in terms of social, political energies. But the next step is the crucible. And this is where there's this increased internal and external challenge. It's pressure. It's a period of intense transformation. And this phase is really drawing its name from the vessel that we use in alchemy called the crucible, which is used to purify metal through heat and through pressure. So just as the crucible burns away the impurities in metal to reveal its pure essence, the crucible stage involves dismantling the ego's attachments to our old identities, beliefs, and patterns that no longer serve. Now, this can be a very confusing and disoriented process because the ego naturally resists. It resists this dissolution, you know, and that's why it feels so awful, because the ego is trying to hold on. But this is a process that must happen in order for us to evolve and for the soul to take its rightful place. And when the ego is resisting, that's generally where the pain comes from. The resistance fuels and intensifies the pain. So if you're able to just recognize that the crucible is a necessary step, it's a necessary process for growth, it's refining us like metal in a furnace. And so some of the things that you can see in this crucible phase is there's an intensification of challenges. The heat of the crucible signifies that these internal and external challenges are getting heightened. It forces the ego to confront its limitations, its illusions, and that leads to a breakdown of the false self. We see this in burnout. We see this in recovery from addiction. There's this moment of this melting point. And it's the dismantling of the ego that starts to create space for the true self, for the soul to begin to emerge. But make no mistake, the crucible is marked by intense emotional discomfort. And I think we're all feeling that right about now. It is also an opportunity for growth. So despite the challenges, if we view the crucible as a time of significant potential, where we can shed the old patterns and step into a more authentic way of being, that pressure, that burning away of the things that no longer serves us, can actually be a catalyst. So you may feel the emotional turbulence, feeling completely overwhelmed with emotions or anger, frustration or grief and despair. And these intensified emotions and mood swings might lead to unexpected emotional outbursts. You might actually feel like you're stuck in a pressure cooker of these emotions. You might find that some of your old wounds start to resurface. Past traumas, memories, and unresolved issues start to bubble up to the surface. Feeling triggered by past relationships or childhood wounds can happen. It may be that these repeating patterns of destructive behaviors really show themselves and they become really hard to break. Like in all of these stages, you might feel physical symptoms, exhaustion, burnout, physical fatigue. It might be difficulty sleeping, having all these restless nights, disturbing dreams, body aches, tension. Even digestive issues are linked to the emotional stress and strain. And if you are in this crucible and having this existential crisis or doubt, questioning your identity, your purpose and beliefs, it may leave you feeling disillusioned or losing faith in previously held beliefs and truths, like your spiritual truths, societal truths. And that's social withdrawal. That's also a part of this crucible phase, pulling away from friends, family, or community, feeling disconnected or even misunderstood. It's not all bad because sometimes we do need to isolate as a protective mechanism, right? So that's a little bit about the crucible, and I feel like that's where we are right now collectively. We're feeling the heat. The next phase in this dark night to dawn is the labyrinth. This is a phase where there's a deep feeling of uncertainty, kind of like you're wandering without any clear direction. There's a sense that you're in the middle of something, but you don't quite know the way out or forward. The labyrinth can also be a time of mental overload, where you're constantly overthinking. You know, you're trying to figure it out, trying to see the path, spiraling thoughts and inability to make decisions. The mind often feels like cluttered with too many possibilities, making it hard to actually choose a path or make any progress. During the labyrinth phase, there's often a lot of emotional ups and downs. Mood swings, again, are common. I mean, one moment, there might be this like little glimmer of hope or understanding, and then the next, you fall back into this sense of confusion and frustration. It feels like you're in an emotional maze. There's also a lack of clarity. You're actually not even sure of who you are becoming or what's next on your journey. It feels like your previous identity has dissolved, but the new one has yet to form. There's a deep sense of searching for purpose or direction, but nothing seems to provide the clarity or the answers that you're looking for. In the labyrinth, you often find this longing for meaning, but no clear answers are coming. You might be stuck with some analysis paralysis, you know, feeling stuck, like analyzing your options, but not really able to take any concrete steps. So you might overthink and doubt your decisions, or just stay still in inaction. So if you are questioning your choices and your path, whether you're making progress at all, doubting your spiritual or personal practices that once gave you comfort or direction, that's common here. You might be reevaluating relationships and commitments. You know, these connections that might have once felt fulfilling might seem disconnected or unclear. And so there's often this sense of distrust, but you know that you need some guidance. You know, you want to find a mentor or a guide, but oftentimes feeling skeptical of advice or external help. So I don't know if any of this is resonating for you. We'll have some time for questions if you have them. So in this labyrinth phase, we often feel blocked or stagnant. And despite your efforts, it feels like you're just not making progress. You're running around in circles, trying different paths, but always seeming to come back to that same point. Yeah? Well, as we move on to the next, it is the ascent towards the light. And some of the symptoms that you might see here is this renewed sense of hope and optimism. You might get these little glimmers, like this hint of possibility. You might start to feel like a little lighter, as though you're climbing out of the darkness toward the light. After being in the crucible and really processing who you are, how you got there, who you want to be, you start to get these little glimmers, and that's the soul. That's the light of the soul. It may seem like it's external, but you know, if you read San Juan's poem, it's an internal light. And so there's this growing sense that things are getting a little bit better. In the ascent towards the light, there's increased energy and momentum. You start to feel more motivated and energized, you know, ready to take action. There can be a nice sense of forward movement. Even if you don't have all of the answers, you're starting to feel prepared to take that next step. With the ascent, there's often a heightened spiritual connection, a deeper sense of this link to your higher self, to your intuition, or even to spiritual guides or ancestors. You might feel that you're receiving more guidance from within, with your own intuition or from the outside world with external signs and synchronicities. You might notice a clarity of purpose. This sense of direction begins to emerge, and you're starting to understand why you've gone through certain challenges and what lessons you've learned from them that you can move forward with increased confidence. So as you get this clarity, your confidence rises. You start to feel more assured about your decisions and ready to take on those new challenges with a little less fear and hesitation. You might experience creative flow. You experience like bursts of creativity and inspiration. Ideas start to come more freely, and you might even feel excited to manifest or to act on them. Releasing fear and doubt, yeah, they may still linger a little, but they start to loosen their grip on you. And you feel more in control of your thoughts and emotions as your sense of faith and trust in the process grows. This might also be a time where you're really starting to have a greater sense of gratitude. You feel more thankful for the lessons you've learned and the growth you've experienced. And gratitude becomes this guiding force in your life as you reflect on how far you've come. You often find in this ascent that there's an alignment with your goals and with your vision. The actions and decisions that you're taking are really a lot more aligned with your soul and less about that ego or programmed sense of self. And you have a little bit more trust that you're moving in the right direction. You might notice that as you rise in energy and optimism, the right people show up offering help or resources or just positive encouragement right at the right time. And then we move to the rebirth and emergence stage, which is really the culmination of the dark night of the ego and dawn of the soul. This is a powerful phase where the emergence of your new self that has been forged in the fires of transformation is really ready to step into life aligned with purpose and authenticity. Now, this stage represents a point of integration and embodiment. So the lessons that you've learned, the insights that you've gained throughout the journey now manifest in tangible shifts in how you experience yourself and how you interact with the world. So I often use this metaphor of the mythical phoenix rising from the ashes because it really illustrates this process of renewal and transformation. The old self that was burdened by these limiting beliefs and these outdated patterns has been dismantled, making way for a new, more authentic self to emerge. So you might be experiencing crystal clear understanding of your purpose, your direction, and your next steps. Everything that felt confusing in the past is starting to make more sense, and you're ready to move forward with renewed confidence. You might even feel a sense of inner peace and calm, even in the midst of the challenges. There's a strong knowing that you are exactly where you're meant to be, and that chaos of the earlier phases is starting to settle. And so the lessons that you learned from the descent into the crucible, through the labyrinth and the ascent, they've become fully integrated so that you no longer feel controlled by your old patterns and your wounds, but you see them as powerful sources of wisdom and strength. That heightened intuition and insight allows you to trust guidance like never before. You feel connected to an inner sense of your higher self, and your decisions are guided by this wisdom. This is where you might start to navigate emotional challenges with greater ease and grace. That emotional and spiritual resilience is what's helping you stay grounded so that you don't get thrown off by difficulties and you respond with wisdom and emotional intelligence. This is a time where, of course, that pervasive sense of joy and gratitude and appreciation for life is there. Now, it's important to know that as you're emerging, you've got to hold strong boundaries and really trust in your self-worth, knowing when to say yes, when to say no, and when to no longer tolerate situations or people that drain your energy. So things that might have seemed out of reach might start to come into your life more effortlessly, as though the universe is actually aligning with your purpose. And you feel completely aligned with your authentic self, no longer pretending or masking who you truly are. You show up fully in your power, owning your strengths and your unique gifts with pride. So there can be this feeling of a sense of completion as you leave the old behind and fully step into the new. It can take some time. You know, you might be ready for the next cycle of growth and evolution, you know, eager to see what's happening on your journey. You might be afraid, you know, overwhelmed with all of the possibilities before you, or afraid that you're going to slip back into old patterns. You know, you might even feel a pressure to always be this new, enlightened version of yourself, which can lead to self-criticism if you encounter any setbacks or moments of doubt. So even though you've worked through some of these things in the crucible stage, they might still have their remnants floating within you. Imposter syndrome, for example. You might question whether you're truly capable of living at this elevated level of awareness and success. So these are the five stages that every one of us goes through, from this dark night of the ego into the dawn of the soul. And I have to say that there is another phase. It's not really a phase, but it's the liminal phase. It's that sticky in-between. When you're in between the descent into the abyss and the crucible, or between the crucible and the labyrinth, or the labyrinth and the ascension, you're in this in-between state where you're not quite where you want to be or where you're going next, but you're also definitely not going to go back to who you were. And we're in this in-between state globally, you know, collectively. Society is in this liminal space as we see these outdated power structures breaking down and new systems are not yet being fully formed, but we're starting to get a glimpse of what might be needed. So that's an overview of these five stages of the dark night of the ego and the dawn of the soul. I have recently published a new guidebook, and you can get your hands on it. It includes some guided meditations, some audios that you can download, and exercises taken from the Real Self-Love Handbook that will guide you through these five stages of evolution and growth. So I encourage you to get a copy of it. You can just visit wondrea.com and you will see that you can download the book, you can download the guided meditations, you can start doing some of these exercises. And what you'll see is that the five stages of the dark night to dawn mirror the five steps of the cornerstone process. So it means that you now have a framework, you have a structure that will lead you from confusion to clarity, to support, even as you're still grappling with what life is unfolding and looking like. The first step of the cornerstone process is awareness. When you're falling into the abyss, while the ego's clutching and saying, what's going on? If you're able to surrender and not resist, you're invited to use that moment for introspection. So in the cornerstone process, there are several assessments and questionnaires and journal prompts for you to really reflect on, who are you? How did you get to where you are in this dark night? Sometimes it's our own patterns that have led us into darkness. Sometimes it's just life transitions. But the goal here is really to start to figure out, who are you in the face of this chaos? You might have relied on your job, your title, your status, your placement in your family system. But there comes a moment where you've got to be able to stand firmly in your true sense of self. And so it's a matter of identifying the false self and then starting to look at, who are you really? Before you would have been programmed, you came in with a certain soul print, your spiritual DNA, as I call it. So all of that's included in the cornerstone process to help you become more aware of who you really are. And with that awareness, you might be able to come to terms with the past and the present, finding forgiveness for yourself or for others, or at least compassion for yourself and for all of us going through these transitions, because you're not the only one. And that second step of the cornerstone process is acceptance. It's where we say, I'm no longer going to blame the past or the president or the economy or the climate or God or anyone else. I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to accept what I've been given and make choices. So step three of the cornerstone process is accountability. So once you've accepted, you take responsibility for your life going forward. No matter what other people did to you, to the planet, or what have you, there comes a moment where you are responsible for you going forward. How you will show up. How are you going to evolve in the face of what you're being shown in the world? And that accountability is a powerful, pivotal moment where you get to reclaim your autonomy, your authority, your sovereignty. You get to be the one who decides how you describe yourself. This is a powerful moment where we often get to put to rest those trauma narratives and stop leaning on them for a sense of identity and choose, who do I want to be going forward? You get to choose to be the hero of your own story or any other archetype that you might choose to embody. So in that accountability step, we're also looking at crafting a self-description that's based on your strengths, that's based on your vision, your values, your personality, your desires and dreams, instead of all the past programming that may have led you to mold and fold yourself into these various personas or masks. From accountability, we then move into inspired action. Inspired action is linked to the ascent, because it's like, finally, I'm seeing a little bit of clarity, and I'm only going to take steps forward that are aligned with my heart and my soul, with the vision of what I want to embody and experience in this life. And then we move into step five, which is appreciation, which is linked to the rebirth and the emergence stage, where you can show appreciation for yourself, gratitude for your strength and resilience to move through these phases, gratitude for any support you've gotten in this world or in the heavens, and then to bring that appreciation to your everyday life. Like, moving through these five stages, if you really look at them, you've been through these transformational experiences before. We all have. By bringing this level of awareness and by having a framework that is the cornerstone process, you can go through it with a little more grace. It's still going to hurt if you're going through a major transition or loss. The crucible is still going to feel like it's a burn. But if you're able to put on the awareness and the perspective that this is a catalyst for your growth and evolution, and remember that the dawn is coming, after every dark night, there is the dawn, then you can have that sense of forward momentum and direction. So that is what I wanted to share with you today about the dark night of the ego and the dawn of the soul. I hope that this has helped you kind of reframe what this experience looks like and what it could look like if you chose to look at it a little more optimistically. So if you have some questions, I will pop over and check on the chat now. What is going on in your world? Is this helpful at all? Are you feeling it? Are you just frustrated or what? Let me know. I'm going to pop into the chat here a link where you can get access to the guidebook, The Dark Night of From Darkness to Dawn, and that guidebook where all of the cornerstone process and all of the steps and supports for you on this journey. I've also included on this page, you can just give us your email and I'll send you a guide on how to look at these steps and stages. There's all sorts of reflection questions and affirmations, like things that are going to help you whatever stage you're in, so that you're not pulling your hair out and, you know, going off on a tirade. These are the things that have helped me keep my sanity for the last year, as things have really been unraveling and just feeling the weight of it. You know, I've shared that the heaviness of the last few years really started to weigh on me earlier this year. And in one of my own introspective journeys, I called out for help. It was one of those kind of throwing out an SOS to my spiritual guides to say, y'all gotta help me. And coming to terms with the fact that I alone cannot change these world events. And I can't even rely on the government to do the right things. It's so convoluted and complex. And I've shared this with my private community, that one of the things that happened when I finally got to, through the grief, into acceptance that, okay, we're in the crucible right now. One of the things that happened for me is I realized this may not change anytime soon. I'm talking about the collective stuff. I know the things that I'm going through in my personal life, like they're time limited, right? But in the world, I realized I'm not sure that I'm going to see that golden age in my lifetime. I mean, I'm 53, going to be 54 this weekend. I'm like, maybe I've got another 40 or 50 years to live. And so I started to think, well, how do I want to live the next 40 or 50 years? I can't just go hide under the covers and wish it goes away. And that brought to mind for me the Titanic. So you may remember that the captain of the Titanic and his musicians decided to stand and play music and try their best to calm people as the ship was sinking. Some people were able to escape on lifeboats, some other people just jumped, but they decided to stay there and play music to try to bring a sense of calm. And as I was dealing with my own dark nights, I leaned into music. It was listening to music in sacred ceremonies, in my crying sessions, that finally brought me a sense of hope. Like, I started to get into that appreciation. Just to be totally transparent, I was listening to some Prince and I was like, first sad that Prince is not here, but then so grateful that I have that music and I've had the great privilege of seeing him perform live. And as I just sort of savored these positive emotions, my mood started to lighten. And it's like, well, if we have to live in a world that is kind of like a sinking ship, thank God we have music. And as I am a musician and singer, I made a decision that, okay, I'm going to release my music that I've been sitting on for decades. I'm going to release more meditations. I'm going to come on live for you here on social media and share my energy, my light, my love, my compassion, because that's what I've got. That's what I can do. That's what I can do. What can you do? For me, I am a creator at heart. You know, I haven't always lived that because I was so molded and folded to deny my artistic passions and go the safe route of becoming a doctor and, you know, eventually a trauma therapist. But at my core, I'm an artist. And I don't want to die not fully expressing the truth of me and sharing whatever I can that can make someone's life a little bit better. So with putting out the books and the music and the perfumes and candles from Soul Sense Alchemy, that's my contribution to do what I can. And yes, I'm still hosting retreats and working with people privately and in groups. But what I've recognized that the world is in need of each and every one of us to step up. And I see your comment here, Shell, about, you know, what if you feel or fear that it's too late? Well, we're still alive, so it's not too late. Is the world going to hell in a handbasket? Is it the proverbial sinking of the Titanic? Maybe. But it's not too late, because you're still here. I'm still here. I made a commitment that I'm not going to leave this planet prematurely. I've got a kid, got a family, I've got things to do. So it's not too late. It's not too late to make a difference in the people's lives that are around you, your family, your community, your work, to bring whatever is in you out into the world as your contribution. And that might just be your presence or your prayers. I believe that works. I believe that has power when we feel so powerless. And that's what I'm doing. So you'll hear that I have recently been hosting a private group going through a 3-month journey of conscious evolution using the cornerstone process, using some interesting tools and techniques. Some of us have been leveraging AI. But the whole concept is, if we're going to be alive on this planet, and we are, how can we each evolve into the next best version of ourselves? The more resilient, the more confident, the more badass version that can stand in this storm to be what we need to be for ourselves and our families. Because that's what conscious evolution is all about. If you think about it, we humans are the one species that can use our conscious intent in the evolution process. Most species adapt in response to the environment. When there's a crisis, when there's a meteor, when there's weather, when there's a famine, species adapt and evolve based on external pressures. We are the one species that can use our conscious intent to choose to evolve, to become better. And that's what we're doing in this 12-week journey. We are choosing, what do I need to get purified in me, in my psyche, in my being, so that I can step up? And for some of us, we have goals of doing things with our company, with doing things with our health, with doing things with our relationship. Like, each of us will choose an area of life where we need to step into that next evolved version. And using the cornerstone process on a week-to-week basis, you can make these quantum leaps. It's a transformation of your identity, because that's what happens in the dark night to dawn. You don't come out the same person that you were when you went in. So what if you could consciously do this in community, with a guide, with other facilitators? So we're offering this, once this beta group is finished, it'll be open to the public. And there'll be different levels for you to engage. If you want more support and guidance, some one-on-one support, group support, those will be options. Or you can just get the videos, the guided meditations and content to go through these 12 weeks on your own. But it's incredible, because I'm now in my second version of the 12-week journey. And the first one was completely driven by the intense sadness that I was feeling, where I literally said, I have got to become better. If I can't change the outside world, I've got to change me. And it really inspired me to make this mindset shift, to work on the internal beliefs, to rewire my brain, to practice all of these principles that we all know, but practicing it with a very dedicated focus in that 3-month journey. And I made these leaps. Now I'm in my second of these 3-month conscious evolution things, and I've got new goals and new things I'm stepping into. So this is what we're inviting you to be a part of. Right now, you can already get a hold of From Darkness to Dawn, the guidebook, and that will help you work with the cornerstone process with all of the wonderful tools and strategies that are in there so that you can do the work. I'll be sharing more about how you can work with me or a group, different workshop versions of this, but it's all to really support each and every one of us as we step up and step into this next version. So thank you for tuning in. Please know that wherever you are in the world, whatever your spiritual or political leanings, I am sending you so much love. I am sending you so much compassion. I am sending out waves of loving kindness to all beings on this planet, because we are all in the process of evolving and awakening. And I pray that as you are going through this process, it is my sincere wish that you know true happiness, that you be free from suffering. May you be truly well in body, mind, and in heart. And may you live peacefully, with grace and ease. Sending you so much love. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for the birthday wishes. I'm going to go back to packing, and I'll see you on our next live session. Much love, everyone. Take good care. Bye for now. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Innate Vitality Code podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend, rate the podcast, and subscribe. This helps me with getting my message out to a wider audience. For show notes and other episodes, visit innatevitality.com/podcast. That's vitality.com/podcast. You can also sign up for my free masterclass series. Each month, I take a deep dive into the topics of holistic healing, resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. Just visit innatevitality.com.